got to this thing of expecting more from God. I've been in a journey of learning to expect more from God than ever before. I was looking at this verse here in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "To now him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." So to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And so, I don't know if you guys have ever read this verse and said, yeah, God is able, but he probably doesn't want to. Have you guys ever thought that? I've thought that a lot of times, but you guys can pray for me. So God, you know, there is something in God saying I'm able to do it did not transfer to the fact that he actually really wanted to do it. So if we start thinking about all the great things that God can do, we're like, we don't really believe many times, at least I haven't believed in the past, that he actually wants to exceed our expectations. I mean, I'll tell you, one place where he did that was actually my wife. My wife is amazing. I don't deserve her. I mean, like, God, I married up big time. And I'm not just saying that. Like, after living with, when you get married, you learn a lot about yourself. And I thought it was pretty cool before I got married, but I'm not nearly as cool as I thought it was. But she's so gracious, and she just how she loves me. And so the more I'm walking, I had all these ideas about, what I wanted in a wife. And, the Lord just blew me away. And so I'm just thinking, that's just one place I'm really thankful, And I know that's, sometimes we end up in painful stories and that, because people have decisions and they make choices that aren't always great, But that's one place where I'm really thankful for that. But I'm realizing that in all the areas of my life that God is building into me an expectation that he wants to do more in this hour in the church than we've ever seen before.
Amen.
I groan sometimes when I get really excited. I really do believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times to live. When we get looking at the, whatever we look at, we become like. And so, if we get looking at the problems in the culture, do you think that we're going to look more like Jesus, or we're going to look more like the problem? So the church has been in a lot of places spending a lot of time looking at what the problem is, instead of becoming the solution by looking at Jesus. They're just perpetuating the problem.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but I think it's true. I think it's true, and so. I'm not saying the problems that are happening in the culture and society aren't there, but I see what God is doing in the midst of it is actually greater than the problem. I think it's actually possible that God might be continuing to set up the church for its greatest hour that we've ever seen. I mean, I have a personal conviction that even if the world's terrible, that the church is going to have a glory in it. You guys hear me? Do you guys believe that? That this is like, this is an exciting time to live. I love that, we were just, I was late to the meeting because we were talking to one of the people that, help and serve in the camp. And we just had this God encounter, And we just, actually I was hanging out with Jay Weber. Where are you? Jay Weber over there. And we just started, talking to her about the love of God and how much the Father loves them. And it was just a total divine appointment. We start prophesying over her and say, Jay gave a word about you have this hunger for the supernatural. She's like, yeah, this is me. Yeah. She's like, can I come to your church? So she's going to drive down, to her church to check it out. And I'm like, there's something happening. And there's something that God's doing with people like I have never seen before. I think that we are on the midst of one of the greatest movements that we've ever seen.
Right.
Man, if I'm deceived, I invite you guys to be deceived with me. Because I much rather go down believing than not believing.
Right.
I heard a great word by Bill Johnson had this great thing, and because I love studying the Bible, I love eschatology sometimes. I love all these things. And I was wrestling through, but because I biblically want to think through my faith, and I remember one thing he said, there's a lot of things in scripture that we're not sure what side it falls on the millennium. He's like, but I'd rather err on the side of believing that's actually for the present day. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
So there's so many things in Scripture where, I mean, throughout church history where the church really thinks they have it figured out, but they didn't have it figured out at all. So if we're going to err, let's err on the side of actually believing God for something that's miraculous. Do you guys hear me?
Yeah.
So and if it doesn't, you know, I'm in the place where, I mean, I've walked through a lot of testing. If some of you guys know my testimony, you know, that I came out of a lot of pain. I literally thought I was dead for 7 years because of I fried my brain on drugs.
Oh.
That's pretty intense, right? Yeah. So I know about walking in pain with Jesus. And so if there's pain and there's hardship in the future, that's I'm ready for that. I've walked with the Lord through those things. But in the midst of it, I found Jesus in a way that's so powerful that I know that His glory is going to outshine my problems. I mean, even if He uses, you know, church history, even the persecution stuff, He just used it as the catalyst to get the church to do actually what it was supposed to be doing the whole time, which is being a witness to the world, right? So in my book, anyway, we win. So one of the things that, you know, as we're talking about this theme of more, that God's been working on my mindset is that even, you know, when we talk about our times of testing, I'm expecting for God to do more out of my, even in my times of testing. You know, our times of testing are not to destroy us, they're to increase us. So Israel, Mike was mentioning Israel, he preached like, he went right in the middle of my message, it was beautiful. It was the anointing. But the Israelites, you know, as they were traveling through the desert, the desert wasn't a destination for Israel, but preparation for greater fruitfulness that was going to last. It wasn't destination, it was preparation. So the wilderness was never God's destiny for the church, never. It was never God was like looking at Israel and saying, I just hope you just wither and die in the wilderness, you know. That wasn't His plan. He was training them, He was pruning them, He was preparing them, so that they could actually live in a much more abundant land. Right? So the wilderness was actually, I mean, I think it sucked, but it was pretty miraculous when you looked at it. You know, so a lot of times people are like, you know, they start sharing, like, I'm going through the wilderness and God's nowhere to be found. I'm like, well, that's not the wilderness in the Bible. You know, the wilderness in the Bible, there's like, they have a rock that's following them. Like, that's weird, right? A rock that's following it. It was the first rock and roll in the Bible. I'm a dad of three kids. I have plenty of these. I've been storing them up. My kids still think I'm funny. It's awesome. So they have this rock that's falling. They have bread coming out of the ground every single day. Their shoes aren't wearing out. They have a pillar of fire. It's like leading them. I mean, like, this is like super cool, you know? But in all this miraculous stuff God was doing with them, they weren't getting the lesson. They weren't getting it. That it was God training in them to teach them to live in a different mindset.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the church, when we're looking for breakthrough, we're not looking for the miracle that changes the way we're thinking, so we actually step into something that's different. Like, God wants to release a provision that has a lasting effect on culture. God wants to, are you guys hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, this is provision that's not like, hey, this is just good for my family, but this, like, feeds other families. Are you guys hearing me? Yeah. Like, Joseph. Man, I love the story of Joseph. Actually, I kind of hate the story of Joseph, too. Because how many people, I'm sure those people have kind of lived in sections. I mean, when you're reading through the Bible, you know, and you're going through seasons, you're like, Job's my man, you know, you're like, Joseph's my man, you know, and you're reading through the stuff, and you're talking about the painful part, you know, and, but through that, you know, God was setting Joseph up because He wanted him to be an answer to, He was teaching him, like He talks about, that when they were walking through the wilderness, that God was feeding them bread that they did not know, teaching them to live off every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I believe that Joseph in his prison was getting bread, spiritual bread, so that when he broke out, that he could give physical bread to a nation. I mean, this is radical because, man, I was meditating upon this, you know, that God sent Joseph into a place where he was, his own house, his own family was just a total mess. I mean, it was just, I love the Bible because it's got families are train wrecks over and over again. It makes me feel better about my family, you know? But it doesn't end there. Joseph's story doesn't end there either, because in the midst of that, you know, God was changing his heart. God was setting up Joseph not only to be a blessing for his family, but to be a blessing for a home that wasn't his, a nation that wasn't his. I mean, this is amazing. He's setting him up to be a blessing, not just for his whole nation, but for a nation that wasn't him. And when Joseph turned his heart and said, I'm going to be a blessing for somebody else, God got his nation too. It's like when I think this is part of the thing, like when we're talking about the breakthrough thing, is that when we start rejoicing in another house's or another person's breakthrough, we're setting up to get breakthrough in our own house. So the whole time that Joseph was going in prison, I think that God was pruning his heart. I mean, the guy comes out and he is unoffended, right?
Yeah.
His brothers tried to kill him, you know? And then they said, oh, we'll settle on slavery, an upgrade, right? Yeah. I mean, that's quite an upgrade. You know, sorry, we're not going to kill you, Joseph, but you're going to remain a slave. So, but in the midst of all this thing, he wrestles with God and he steps out of it unoffended. Like, he's loving his family in the midst of it. And so, I think this is part of what God's doing. I think that there's, you know, I love that Pastor Mike carries this, that when, you know, when I stepped in the church, and you step into pastoring, teaching, all this different stuff, it's like all the world revolves around church life. But that's not true. All the world does not revolve around church life. You guys, out there in the workforce, out there in the marketplace, that's where life is happening most of the time. Right? So you guys that are out there have the greatest opportunity to bring transformation to the world.
That's right.
Not us. You know, our job here is to help feed you guys so you guys can actually go change the world. And we can just go, yeah, guys, you're doing it. Come on. You know, because there's giftings in here. There is giftings in here to change nations. I'm convinced of that.
Yep.
You know, the thing that Arnie's going after, that's a gifting that could change a nation. I mean, guys, this is amazing. This is not for us. This is for the glory of God.
Amen.
Like, I love the Mercy Warehouse, because the Mercy Warehouse has taught me that when we do practical things to reveal the glory of God, it's an opportunity for the kingdom to break in.
Yeah.
It seeds the soil. It plows the soil so hearts get prepared to receive what Jesus actually really wants to do. That's my first point.
You're awesome.
You guys are so nice. So part of this thing of God's heart to give us more, I want to just share just a personal testimony. We walked through my wife and I 10 years of really hard, you know, like finances. Like, I mean, it's hard to live in Orange County, man. Like, it's a battle. So we had like 10 years where we were living in the wilderness provision, which was part of God's plan for our lives. Where that 3 days before the rent was due, we didn't have enough money, and then the check would show up. And man, it was so amazing. Like, we finally figured out that God actually does provide for you. It took about 10 years. It took about 10 years for this thing to settle in, that God actually, he shows up every time. Anthony's, you know, sometimes a business is like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're not making payroll. We're making payroll! Hallelujah! And then, you know, the whole company's rejoicing. My wife works for him, so my family's rejoicing. No, I really learned this. Like, man, when you're invested in someone else's life, you fight. Like, I have an investment in this company, and I fight for them. But this is a picture of actually what the body of Christ is, right? Because his provision is provision for my house. But it's true for each one of us. When we're fighting for another person's provision, it's provision for us. It really is. You know, and so God is so good. He's had to give me these, I'm like really slow at some things, and he's given me these like practical things to connect. Like, this is, you know, I'm sure it's what Paul did. He talked about the body and stuff. I don't know, that still confuses me. But getting a paycheck, that's not confusing. I understand that very, very clearly. So So through this wilderness, part of what God was teaching me was, one lesson was that He really was the God of provision, and that I can count on Him to take care of me all the time. You know, we went through, there was a little period where we didn't have money recently, and my dad came up to me and he said, "I heard, you know, like, you guys are just a little bit short," and he's like, "Can I give you money?" I'm like, "Dad, don't worry about it, we're fine." He's like, "You don't have enough money for rent yet, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "So I should probably write you a check." And I'm like, "No, we're fine." And he's just like looking at me, and I'm like, and I turned to him, and I just felt like this was supposed to be my response. I'm like, "Dad, we lived in 10 years in this place. I'm like, 1 month isn't it a problem, right?" And so I could tell he was shocked, and then actually later he wrote me the check anyways, which was really awesome. But let me tell you, I got more than I was expecting, because the money we were waiting for came through. And then he said, "I just want you to keep the money for whatever will bless you and your kids." Yes. But I feel like that was a test. It was a test in saying, you know, Ryan, because I felt like my witness to my dad was more important than the check he wanted to give me, because he's seeking Jesus. And so because of what God produced in me through that wilderness, there's a different kind of faith that grew out of me about how God wanted to provide for my life. So, this is part of what God's doing in the church. I believe that God's training us to not just be looking for a new breakthrough, but He's renewing our minds so we'd have a different mindset so that we can actually live in a life of abundance. And it's not just, obviously, the financial part is not, it's not the whole everything. And that part goes up and down, it changes, but it is an important part. I've shared this story before, but in the Mercy Warehouse, this woman came up to me and she was buying, you know, fold-up chairs, and I'm just kind of talking about a story, and she gets done paying for it, and I'm like, "So, you know, why are you doing this?" And she's like, "Well, I want these chairs to set up a birthday party for my kid at the beach." And she's like, "I really don't have any money, and there's like all this expectation in Orange County to have things that look good, and this is the best I could do." And I'm like almost crying. I'm like, "Oh, this is so heartbreaking, you know?" And she was so sincere. She wasn't like, she just saying, "I'm just trying to fit in." You know, so she walked at the door and I grabbed someone else who worked there. And I'm like, "Here's $20. Go walk out and give it to that lady, you know?" And because I was too actually emotional to do it. I was like, I was messed up because I was feeling God's compassion on me. And so she walks out and she comes back 10 minutes later and she's just, not the lady, but the girl I give the money to. And she's bawling. She's like, "Look what you did to me." And she's like, "I gave the $20 to the person and she broke down crying." You know? And so what I learned out of that, though, that money was a resource to give a love encounter. This lady had an encounter with the Father's love because of provision coming into her life. And I was like, "Oh, Jesus," I'm like, "I want money." No, I'm serious though. I'm serious. I'm like, "God, I want to be someone that has resources to give to other people to display the love of God." And not and it's not just for my house. And we know this, that our blessing is not just for us, it's to share with everyone else. And so the more we get hold of that, the more we become the tube of God that God keeps funneling His blessing through. And I mean, this is just an amazing privilege. So I want to, ride a horse. I just want to share, okay, a couple more points. Actually, Brent shared this testimony before, but I feel like testimonies are like, you know, milking a cow. I just...
Weird.
That's it. I don't have any point after that.
That was my second point.
The only reason why I said that is because people are telling me that I have to beat the Death Star. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. How am I going to beat the Death Star picture? I don't... Not by milking a cow. And actually, I don't think I've ever milked a cow. I've seen pictures of it. I was watching The Great Race. They were milking goats. That was weird. But I just feel like there's so much in testimonies, and I want to get everything out of it.
More!
So come up, Brent, I want to milk you. So we're going to walk into a holy moment right now. But I just want Brent to share this testimony.
Brent is shut now.
How
many of you guys heard that the story that I shared about the 10,000? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Some of you guys? Okay. So this last summer I was gone for a good chunk of the summer. I was gone for a month, and right before I was leaving, went on a missions trip and went up to worship you up at Bethel. And right before I was leaving, my wife had to go in the hospital, and took her into the hospital. And as we're in there, she was having some pains and stuff. As we're in there, they said, "Oh, you know, your primary insurance is going to help cover the first part of this, but your secondary insurance isn't going to kick in because you still owe $5,000 for your last kid." And so I was really stressed out because I'm supposed to be leaving in a couple of days and going to be gone for a while. My wife was I didn't know how long she's going to need to be in the hospital for a long time. She ended up being able to go home, but I was kind of stressed out, and so I'm thinking about it while I'm gone, you know. And then I get back, and we find out that from her, when we got back, I found out that from when she was in the hospital, they basically said, "Oh, it's it was $9,000 for that, for when she was in there. Insurance covered $4,000 of it, so you owe another $5,000." And so I was freaking out because I was like, "Man, just a couple of months ago, I didn't owe this $10,000." And I was like, "Dang, like I don't know." So I'm thinking, I'm going through scanning all the stuff that I can sell, you know, which is a short list. I told this guy, I'm like, "Hey, I was at one point. I told him I was thinking of what I was going to sell." And he's like, "Well, what are you going to sell? What do you have you could sell?" And so children maybe, but that's so. Sorry, Jay. So I hadn't told anybody about this, and at staff meeting one day, this guy gets a word. He gets this word about, he's like, "Hey, I see you heading towards a wall, and the wall is the wall just like disappears, and you don't hit it." And so we go to lunch. I was with Ryan and this guy Tim Gonzalez and Kent, and we were sitting there, and I finally realized, like, okay, I need to be vulnerable.
Good point.
You like that tie-in?
I said, actually, "Do you want to get free now or later?"
Oh yeah.
And then you said now.
So I realized, like, oh, okay, I need to just be transparent. I was stressing out. I was not kind to family members, and I don't know what you guys are like when you get stressed out, but sometimes it's not really.
Nice.
You're what?
I'm extra nice.
Yeah, extra nice. Yeah, it's not really like the Christian thing you're going for, you know. And so, so then what happens is I share it with these guys where things were at. And this guy, he goes, "You know, sit across from me," he goes, "you know, sometimes you can call the hospital and they'll work with you, they'll help you out somehow." And right as he says it, I look down at my phone and my wife had in big caps letters, "Call me now!" !! And that's
secret code
for call your wife now. I called her up, and
that was free.
Yeah. So she goes,
goes, hey, I just got off the phone with the hospital, and I was talking to them about the balance, and it was basically just what Ryan was just saying as the text had come in, and she said, well, they gave us our new balance, and our new balance is zero. We don't owe anything.
Ray, you're so awesome.
So, part of that, when I was praying for in staff meeting, part of the thing was, what happened was I'm like, he looks sad. And so I went to lay hands on him, and the moment I laid hands on him, I just started laughing, which I do occasionally. When it happens, I know it's the Holy Spirit. Like, someone needs joy. And so I'm just like, I've learned, I'm just going to go with it. So I'm praying for him, and I get this word, you know, that you feel like you're going to hit this wall, but God actually has an ambush, a blessing for you. Actually, he has an I ambush for you. Because that's what Moses got. It's the Holy Spirit Riddler effect. Riddle effect. Read the Riddler. He's bad. He's the bad superhero. But it was funny. Actually, I don't know if you guys have ever prayed with Steve Skolos. Steve Skolos gets this rhyming thing on him when he gets in the prophetic, and I think he laid hands on me one time, and now I have this disease where sometimes I rhyme. But really, that's what I could feel it like. It actually, part of the ambush was how much God wanted to pour out His Spirit and His love on you, and I don't think that's the end. I think actually this financial thing, I think it's actually exactly what Mike was speaking about, is the financial blessing coming to your house. And so in that moment, what I started realizing again is that I think, Brent, would your expectation be in that situation not to get more? Like, you're probably happy with just getting out of debt, right? That's something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about, I'm not going to only get out of debt, but I'm going to buy a new house. That was not on your mind at that time. So what happens, though, I realize, is that when we get into trouble, we start setting our bar for saying, I'm going to go after zero. I'm going after nothing. Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you're sick. And like we a lot of times we can think about like healthiness as not being sick. Are you guys following me?
Yeah.
The definition of being healthy is not just not being sick. I know that was a double negative. But what we're going after, are you guys hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, good health is going far beyond just not being sick.
Right.
It's actually being healthy.
Right.
Right? But in the kingdom of God, we set the same bars. And it happens because we get in this place of trouble, and all we can see is like, God, if I can just go for nothing, it would be amazing. If I could go for zero. Now, when you're in trouble, zero's pretty awesome. Right? Zero's pretty awesome when you're in trouble. But I feel like one of the things that God's doing in the church is He's building this expectation that we'd go far beyond zero. Actually, the zero part sometimes is a training for the more. And sometimes God just wants to break and He wants to release more. So whatever side it is, we should be expecting more from God.
Good.
And I'm not saying this outside of like we should be grateful, right? I'm like really thankful. Man, I've been $10,000 in credit card debt, and I was really happy when I hit zero. Like, that was a celebration day. But God's heart for me and my family was not just to get me out of debt, but He really wanted to move me in the place of blessing. I'm not just talking about finances, but I really believe that this physical healing, praying for the sick, you know, like whatever we're going after, I just feel like God wants us to carry a more expectation in the body of Christ.
Good.
That He's going to do more. Guys, I'm telling you, He is doing more than we've ever seen before, and we're just getting the party started. Yes.
Beat your arrows in the ground more than 6 times. 10 times.
That's right. That's a great. So yeah. So Elisha the prophet gets mad because he just hits it 3 times instead of 7. Right? He says, if you would have hit it 7 times, it would have given you not only this, but it would have given you all this other stuff as well. 5, 6. We have
6.
Do I hear 2? It's right here. 12. It's right here. You want to beat the 27th guy? I'm going to give it to you.
Everyone's like, I know the Bible. But the point was, is if he would have gone after more, God would have given him more. It was actually, we had a friend, this was his favorite passage, our friend Benji. He would preach on it every place we went. And he had a voice, and Elisha was known as a benevolent prophet, but he snapped with anger, you know, and he had this full on voice going on, and it was really intense. He was an intense guy. But the whole point was that you know, God was responding and saying, you should have gone after more, right? That was a great, great Bible verse. We'll figure out how many arrows it was later. Where's the Bible answer, man? I think I might have one more point.
Yeah.
There'll be no cows involved. I can't promise that, actually. So I'm going to get moving soon, okay? Just hold on. If you would have done it 5 or 6 times?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So everyone was right except for me. I thought 7 was completion. I don't know. All this stuff, whatever. So, you know, I have one more thing that I just want to touch on. And I think, you know, Mike was touching this a little bit before, which is the place where, you know, when someone gets breakthrough, you know, being in the place of willing to rejoice for them. And I'll share before, because it's not just provision for your house, it's provision. It's not just provision for someone else's house, it's provision for you as well. And but there's another piece of this that I feel like, as a culture, when someone's getting a breakthrough, not only that we could celebrate it, but we could start asking for more, because we want to see them burn for God in a way that's greater than they're burning right now. Right? Have you ever guys been having a barbecue, and no one's probably going to admit to this, you're having a barbecue and you lit it with the lighter fluid already, but it's going nice, but you're like, I think I'll just squirt a little bit more lighter fluid on the thing, and really good at going back and stepping back, shooting. No one's ever done this. So when something's on fire, it's actually fun to pour fuel on it. It's not safe. But it's fun. And I don't think the church is supposed to be a safe place. Right? It's safe in the place that we can share our hearts. It's safe in the place that we're gonna be loved, but it's not in the safe in the place where God can show up at any moment and you never know what he's gonna do. Like, I love telling people, I'm like, if you come to our church, I don't know what's gonna happen. It's like, I feel like you're going to be loved, but I feel like I need to put a warning label, like, over the, you know, it's like when we used to, we'd say, hey, Bethel's coming this next weekend, yeah, this is an invitation and a warning. But our culture is becoming more and more like that. It's an invitation and a warning attached to it, because you're probably not going to be the same. Actually, I was talking to this person at camp. I told her, I'm like, if you come to our church, I'm like, you know, you're dumb. Like, you're not going to be the same, because it's true. And it's not just our church. It's what God's doing. I see God doing this all over the place. This is happening right now in our area. I mean, the Orange County all by itself is, I don't know if you guys know this, but it's a youth hotspot for the movement of the Holy Spirit. I mean, youth pouring into it, saying, I know God's doing something in Orange County. And they are on fire for Jesus. They just believe that he's miraculous. It's weird. You know, it's like I was talking to my kids that I was helping out with the Awanas. And I was trying to, like, talk to them about healing and stuff. And I was trying to explain it. This thought just popped in my mind, which is really simple, but it just clicked for me. That I'm like, if Jesus did all these miracles on the earth, and he lives inside of you, shouldn't you guys expect him to do the exact same thing? And I'm like, yeah! I said yeah! Because the same God is living inside of us. Like, he's, you know, he's just waiting to get out. God is waiting to get out. He's waiting to get out of our skin. He's waiting to get out of the church. He's waiting to get out of the doors. He's waiting to get out of wherever we've held him in. He's waiting to get out. I love someone, you know, it was talked about this song that was written, you rend the heavens and come down, which is a great song. I love that prayer. But we need to add to it, God, rip open my flesh and just come out. You know, like, just come out of me. Like, just get released from me. So I just want to continue to press into culture, kind of going back to this thing. When someone's, like, doing really well, I want to pour on the lighter fluid. I don't want to just, because we're really good at, and I love this, I don't want this to change about us, but, like, a lot of times, even the prophetic, it's like we're, you know, we're, like, finding the, like, who's, like, hurting. You know, it's like the meeting, like, who's hurting. I don't want to stop doing that, but I really want to go after this other thing of finding who's burning passionate for Jesus, and I want to pour it on, because their more means my more. Yeah. Do you think that would look different?
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like fun lighter fluid to me. So I'm going to land there because I want to do some ministry time and some John. You're not leading worship, are you?
I can.
You can.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know it's like what you're saying about that, like infectious. When, you know what I mean, like, it's going to change you.
Yeah.
Because it's working like you know how cocaine does and all the different drugs. The first time anybody ever tries them, it changes how the mind works. So it's just like,
so Jesus is more intense. It's true. He's better. I've done them all. So, actually, who's got a breakthrough recently in something?
I do.
You've had a keep your hand up. Who else has got a breakthrough recently? Like, just if you had a breakthrough recently, I want you to come on up here. Just come up the front. You can have whatever you want. So what I want to do? Ooh, Jesus. Okay, I want to do two things. The first thing I want to do is just share briefly, you know, what your, kind of give us the bullet point version of your breakthrough, and then I want us to pour fire on them.
There you go.
I want you guys to pull out your lighter fluid. Bob, I didn't mean literally light them on fire. Like I said, you never know what to expect here. So first I want them to share, and then we're gonna bless them, and then we're gonna allow their testimony to be a part of our breakthrough too, okay? So the first part, I just want them to share what happened.